Hello.
Hi. Jack the Void King.
And I am B.
Welcome to my very first podcast. We're breaking the proverbial cherry.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yes. So I have a question.
I have an answer.
Why is there a little check mark next to your name, but not mine?
I am a podcaster. This is your first podcast.
Yeah, but you don't even have a profile picture.
It's under construction.
It's under construction. Why didn't you just leave the old one up before you posted up the new one?
Because, I mean, it's a pretty good picture. Like, it's nice and white and outlined. It's got a nice pink background.
So you decided that instead of posting the new picture, or leaving the old picture up and then posting the new picture later, that you would prefer shapeless, faceless little man.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. Okay. It's really a
just,
common
just clarifying.
Story. It's really a common
now story. I do want to test something here, okay?
Let's test it.
I have a local mute button on my microphone here.
Okay.
I don't know if this will work, but let's...
I hear nothing.
Perfect. That means that I can chew my chips without bothering the podcast.
So, why don't we get started with explaining to people who might actually know who you are, Jack? There are people that are going to come on, jump onto your podcast, and have no idea who you are. So why don't you introduce yourself to those people?
You know how I'm supposed to introduce myself, right?
Abba. Well, actually, you have an explicit tag on your podcast. You go off. You go ahead.
I can say it.
You have an explicit tag on your podcast. That is another great thing about Anchor. If you go ahead and put that explicit tag on your podcast, you basically have an 18 plus podcast. It's not going to be seen by people who don't want to see your podcast.
I have the power. Hi, I'm Jack the Void King, and I like anal bush and bad bitches. There, I had to get it out of the way. I had to get it out there. I just had to say it. It had to be said. It had to be done. It had to be said. Sometimes the words just speak out of you. Sometimes you don't speak the words. They speak out of you.
Okay, so why don't you explain kind of who you are, what you do, what your platform is to people who might not know who you are? There are people
well,
in the world.
Well, I think this is the first. That's a really loaded question. That's a really loaded question. Can we start like basics one step at a time?
Okay, so what platforms are you currently on?
I am currently on TikTok.
Okay.
I run my own Discord community.
Okay.
I am part of several other Discord communities. As far as social, Instagram, I have one of those. I don't know how to work it very well, but I'm on it.
Okay. And would you consider yourself a content creator?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. What do you think identifies you as a content creator?
To me, what I didn't like, we've had content creators throughout all the time. Content creators are somebody who actually comes, they create original content. Now, original content can be a little bit more subversive nowadays because, let's face it, TikTok is a lip-syncing app, right? But placing your original idea to an audio is still creating original content in a lot of people's eyes and in mine.
Now, a lot of content creators dismiss the fact that TikTok can be original. And how do you think that TikTok is a good platform for those who are content creators?
I mean, you've got people on there like Josh Wright, who puts his own music that he writes on TikTok. You've got plenty of people who write jokes and comedy, and they put all of their work on TikTok. People who sit there for hours working on original audios that they've created so that they can post them up on TikTok. I mean, it's plenty of good platform for creativity. Lip syncing is only just the scratch of the surface of what you can do with content. And it's interesting because in today's day and age where people's focus is so low and it's so easy to just skip over longer content, that the challenges of fitting in vastly creative work into a very short amount of time is valuable.
Okay. So why do you think that someone would choose having a TikTok platform over a YouTube platform? Or do you think that TikTok is just an introductory to before you go to a YouTube channel?
No, I think they're not mutually exclusive, or they are mutually exclusive is what I mean, I think. What I mean is that you can be on either or both, and it really isn't conducive. I think conducive is the right word.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So, me and you have had a lot of discussions, obviously. Where do you find the argument that TikTok is a kids app?
It's not. It's not even a little bit of a kids app. Like, it should. Like, I get that the terms of service say 13 and up, but the part of the way that I've explained it to many people that they, in a way that they can understand, is through what is it called? Hold on. The MPA, the Motion Picture Association, and how they rate movies and media and TV shows should be looked at similarly to how you post any kind of video style media. And when you have kids that are between the ages of 13 and 17, they can go to a PG-13 movie because it's a kid's movie. It's a PG-13 movie. They don't even need to ask their parents' permission. They can just go. They don't even let their parents know they're seeing it. They can just go to the movies, walk in, and watch the movie. But the terms of service of TikTok implicitly states that not only do they need their parents' permission to be there, but that their parents should heavily monitor their activity. This is something that you only see with rated R movies. And rated R movies are not meant for children. Just some parents think it's okay for them to watch it. Same thing with TikTok. It's not meant for children. And even TikTok knows it, because they promote media content from pop culture that is very explicit, very, very inappropriate for a younger audience. Including artists like Eminem, Nicki Minaj, the Kesh Kesh Vibin song that they actually put, that is one of their original songs that they promote heavily as a featured artist, which is a 16-year-old girl that basically talks about getting groped in a car.
No, I can definitely understand that. And I know me and you have had the discussion before about putting the option on videos to say, hey, this is an 18-plus video, to remove the liability standpoint.
Yes, that would be a really wise decision. Do I think they'll ever do it? Nope. But, I mean, we can scream at them all we like about it.
But the issue is, where that lies, is they do the same sort of thing on YouTube. Do you have an explicit button so you can make it so it's restricted content? But if the creator doesn't label it as explicit content, it will still show up.
Yes, but that feature doesn't exist on TikTok at all. Even in the digital well-being setting that they have, There's an option that can, called restricted mode, that is supposed to filter out inappropriate content. I made a fake account on TikTok, turned it on. I even made sure that the account was set for under 18.
Okay.
And it didn't filter any content.
Because it doesn't have a way to filter it.
Right. They've never set it up. It's completely blank. It's useless. It's a useless feature. If they turned that feature on, that would be step one. Two, to let us as creators, if we create a content, to have a button when we're making the video to hit it and be like, this is 18 plus content. Anybody under the age of 18 cannot see it.
Now, they already have a similar code in the app, because I code, so I understand code language. And their similar code is, they have restrictions that pop up. Try this at home. This is dangerous content. And you're allowed to put that up on a video.
You can't personally choose that yourself,
though. So they should be able to use similar code to put up 18 plus.
TikTok makes those decisions.
But
TikTok selects those videos, and they only select it from popular creators, which is part of the problem. Now, another part of the problem is that digital well-being feature, that restricted mode, doesn't even filter out those videos.
So they're still on that as well.
Yes, if you have that restricted mode turned on, you can still see the ones that have that explicit tag on it.
So I guess a good question for you would be, with all these issues with TikTok and with having kids on there, why stay on the app?
Because.
Why not move to a different platform?
I started using TikTok as a way to keep my hands busy. It was just, I saw an ad and I was like, oh, that looks cool. And then it was to keep my hands busy during a difficult time. What I didn't realize is that TikTok is this massive micro community. I know that's kind of counters itself, but it's a very large micro community, and people create these communities within TikTok. They create them, and you become a part of something, and you feel like you're a part of something, and it feels bigger than yourself, and you make all sorts of friends. You get to know people. It's more personal than just a TV show, because you actually have interactivity with the people that are also on it. If you're just on it and you're just watching videos, then no. But if you actually get involved with content creating and duets and reactions and making your own content, original content, then it starts to get a bit more personal. I have 1,800 videos.
So there are things that TikTok is doing right.
I wouldn't say there's so much that TikTok is doing right. What's a good example of this? TikTok's original intent for what they're trying to do is completely outside of what they're actually accomplishing. It's kind of like making a costume for, say, like a play of Phantom of the Opera, but the costume being better for The Lion King.
Okay, that makes sense. So outside of TikTok and outside of that, how are you using other social medias to gain a bigger platform? Is it to build up your platform on TikTok, or is it to build up your platform in other ways?
I don't actually. I see the usefulness of other platforms for other specific types. I can see how other people can use various forms of social media to build up their various platforms. Personally, I don't approach it that way. I just use them for their native usefulness. For instance, if I make a video that gets taken down and reported and removed from TikTok, I'll immediately post it up onto my Instagram so that people can still see it. And that's a useful feature I find of Instagram, but I don't use Instagram to embolden my TikTok, and I don't use TikTok to embolden my Instagram.
Okay. So what do you think? So other than, I mean, obviously, yes, you do content that can be taken down, and we've talked about children on the app and adults on the app, but you also use TikTok for other methods. You use it for fundraising and to gain a community between the Void Army and Stronger Together.
Yeah, that wasn't my original intent, but it ended up being that way. I remember one day we were, it was probably sometime back in last October, maybe even, what's the month before October? I always get this one wrong.
September?
September, that's the one. It might have been in September, October, somewhere around that time.
Okay, we can just wake you up when September.
And I was under 1,000 fans on TikTok, and I'm sitting there like, you know, like I'm seeing my sister go live, I'm seeing some of the friends I'd started to make go live. And like I thought that was a lot of fun, you know. And I'm not a very great video creator, but I am a great personality to talk to people. And so I wanted to live stream. That was my whole intent and purpose of it. And I really, really, really wanted to use my live stream for, you know, just getting to know people, talking to people. And at first, that's what I was doing. I was, you know, playing Elder Scrolls Online on my live stream. I was, you know, just sitting there talking, listening to music, drinking coffee. And then That's when I discovered the gift system, and I had no idea that it existed until like around like late October. And so I decided, hey, it would be a really great idea if I could use this gift system to give back. And I was a very avid member of the military, so I decided to do a donation type live event to raise money for the military. Now, at this point, I had no idea about how many of these communities were in TikTok. I wasn't that involved with it. It just sounded like a good idea. Come to find out, I ran into while I'm trying to, get this going and working and get it all set up, that I ran into like three, four, five other people who did exactly what I was trying to do. So at that point, I understand it's a really great platform for raising awareness and money, just because you get a chance to talk about the things that matter to you. That's all.
And I think that it's interesting that you do it differently than a lot of the other creators. A lot of creators, they'll take personal donations to their personal PayPals, and we kind of have like a trust system that they're donating that money. But you created a circumvented system so that you guys have, proof and backup.
Yeah, and that came about because of an event. I'm not gonna name any names or anything, but there was a person who was like, not that they were lying about the donations, but they were lying about something very, very massive, and it got discovered by the many communities, and it created this complete environment of mistrust. And as soon as that happened, the first thing that I did was like, well, I have to make sure that I create something that people can trust, regardless of any kind of misinformation or anything like that. So that's why I created kind of a two-point system where I have somebody else who has a PayPal. The money goes to their PayPal. I see every single transaction that happens within that PayPal through an email forwarding system. But I can't personally access it. I don't have the password, I don't have the username, and so it creates this level of trust, because that person can't do anything with the money without me knowing, and I can't do anything with the money because I can't touch it. So it creates a, what's the word I'm looking for?
I'm trying to think of it. I know what you're talking about.
It's not.
A checks a
It,
check a
yeah,
checks and
it creates a
balances.
checks and balance system and integrity. It keeps the integrity of it pure, so that people can trust that their money is going to the right place instead of just my pocket.
So other than, obviously me and you have known each other for a little while now, and other than me just coming to you and saying, "Hey, you should do a podcast," what do you think you could benefit for people on a podcast? What do you think your, why should people listen to you?
I have no idea. Why should people listen to me? Why should people
Why is it
listen
so
to
important
anybody?
to you to connect
I
with
mean,
other
like,
people?
I believe I have a good voice,
Why?
and that I have a very progressive mind, and that I'm not unintelligent. I have, I'm pretty fucking smart. I'm just saying, smart guy. But don't pay attention to the fact that I can't remember words to be conducive to that. No. Okay, I am a very intelligent person. I can iterate thoughts and ideas into a logical and very simplistic way that people can understand.
Okay, so obviously you know how to put out bots. You are a writer. That is your
Yes.
profession. At the end of
I'm a
the day,
writer.
you are a writer.
And an amateur comedian. Hey.
Okay, so my question is, we've gone over the fact that you don't think that kids belong on social media. And so what do you think social media, what do you think the benefits of the social media age have given us?
Benefits of the social media age?
Like, since we haven't, me and you, we're older, in our 20s, I
Yeah,
guess,
I'm in my
as you put
20s.
it. I'm in my 20s. We didn't always have social media. And this age has social media at our fingertips. And while there are a lot of negatives, are there
I get what
benefits?
you're saying, as in, we didn't always have social media, but if you really think about it, we kind of always have. Like, it's still a thing of our generation. Yeah, like it started to spark when we were kids, but I remember using MySpace when I was very young, like probably only like 12. when I first started using MySpace. And honestly, I can't remember a lot about my childhood without thinking really hard. So it's been ingrained into our lives since a very early time. So we kind of did grow up with social media. It is part of our whole reality. But that being said, I also remember dial-up times, and I remember because social media has existed for a very long time, just in different various forms. I remember Yahoo chat rooms and AOL Instant Messenger, and all of these really old forms of social media, where we would share images, pictures, stories, that kind of thing over just a chat client. That's still social media. It was just a very, very, very simple form of social media.
And do you think social media is better or worse
I
now
mean,
that it's progressed?
in a way, both. I can always see it from both points of view. Because in a way, it's much better. Information sharing nowadays is absolute. There's nothing that you can't learn nowadays because of social media. You wanna keep up with a certain senator? Go to their Facebook page. But at the same time, it becomes taxing. There's a lot of information that comes at you all at once from a lot of different directions, and there's a lot of misinformation, and so you have to kind of be careful while using it because it can overcome you. Whereas back in the old days, even though you couldn't get as much information, it was simple and it was easy and it was not as drowning. Or addictive.
Okay. How do you think social, while some people use, like you said, you joined TikTok while you were in a dark
Absolutely,
place.
yep.
And while some people use social media to get out to benefit their mental health, do you think social media is more beneficial to your mental health or
It
less
depends on the
beneficial?
person. It always depends on the person. It's always circumstantial. Everything in life is circumstantial. For some people, it would be beneficial to reach out, people who are misinformed or uneducated who can go out and actually, get involved and because one of the easiest ways to get involved in politics nowadays is through social media. You want to get involved in your local politics? Get on social media. And so the level of community and involvement that you can benefit from mentally from social media without ever leaving your computer desk is it's invaluable. But at the same time, there are some people that the stress that they stress. A lot of people with like a really low stress threshold might have a hard time handling social media because there's a lot of personalization to it. And that's the difference between regular media and social media is the personalization. You actually become personally involved in the media. Whereas before, with like news castings, it would be you listening to everybody else talk, and you could form your own opinions and you would talk about them to your group of friends outside. But with social media, you find you hear news and information from everybody, and you can tell literally anybody. It comes with a really high level of stress. A lot of people will disagree with your opinions. A lot of people who will dislike you for what you think or say. So those things can be stressful.
Okay, I can understand that because my entire job is based off of social media and individuals on social media. So I guess that changes my perspective to the benefits and unbenefits of social media. Like I tell everyone that I work with, especially if they're highly involved in social media, especially if you're a content creator, for the first hour of your day, do not look at your phone. Because I'm a firm believer in what you feed your mind in your first hour is the energy that you will
Well,
have for
like
the
I
rest of the
said,
day.
everything is circumstantial. That could be helpful, but there's also helpful ways where if you the first thing you do is turn on your phone and to look at the weather, or to read the latest news article on cryogenic technology, like that kind of you can use your media in a constructive way. Even if it's first thing in the morning, you can still subject your brain to good things, even if it's right there when you first wake up. So it really just depends on the person and their ability, their willpower to avoid the garbage of social media.
And I understand that because, you know, you can scroll through TikTok or YouTube and more days often than not, we find ourselves in a rabbit hole. We will start searching a certain topic and then go through the rabbit hole and...
It's exactly why you don't look up pimple porn on YouTube. You don't look up pimple porn on YouTube. You just don't do it. You will fall down that rabbit hole. You will go for days. You will end up with conspiracy theories about every president being a lizard man. Like, that's where pimple porn leads every goddamn time.
Okay. So, obviously... we know your opinions. You know that I work for social media. That's my job. That's my... I work with people. I coach people. So what are your questions for me?
Well, what the hell am I doing? How do I press these buttons and what do they do? That's... All my questions are going to be technical. All of them are just going to be technical. I know how to talk.
That's going to be fine. I know... Anchor makes everything... Anchor makes everything really simple and easy, and that's the good thing about it. I know we were just talking about your sponsored ad with Anchor, so I think that's...
I really wish I'd gone with the Bear Story one. Like I really loved that one, but I don't think that I could do the Bear Story one without laughing. So you guys, sorry to everyone listening, you will never get the Bear Story ad. I don't think it'll ever happen.
But Anchor allows you to go ahead and record, and then when you're done, it puts in the background music for you, and it puts it in so you can still hear the content, and it places the ads for you, and it makes sure that, you know, in your first week, iTunes takes a little bit longer.
Whoa, hold up. They're going to put background music, they're going to pick the background music to my advertisement?
No, you pick it. They give you like a list.
Okay, I was about to say.
It's like over like 200 options. No, they let you customize anything any way you want. What I like about Anchor, though, is that they'll RSS feed it out for you, which a lot of people don't really know what that means. But usually if you record your own podcast, you have to submit it to all these different places and go through all these. And Anchor just handles that for you. And I like things the simplified way. That's how I am.
Welcome to the user-friendly age. I mean, we have Macintosh computers for a reason.
And, you know, I think it's a lot of people think, well, I can't start on a podcast. I don't have the audience to actually make a difference and do what I need to do. And I remind them of people like, you know, talking about Macintosh, Steve Jobs started his business
in a
garage. Coca-Cola, I think, sold less than 20 bottles their first year. Nintendo 64, they used to sell playing cards.
That one Everyone I didn't know. Somewhere. They used to sell playing cards?
That is...
That's an interesting little fact right there.
Playing cards. I like interesting little
facts. I like interesting little facts too, but like usually mine are weird. Like, did you know you have taste buds inside of your lungs? Like, that's a really funny one. Like, it's like, ha ha ha, that's how you can taste the air.
That's how you actually choose the brand of cigarette. That's
true. And even though I'm smoking ones currently that are not my preferred choice. But yeah, that does take a part in it.
But I think it's interesting to say that everyone has a voice that they want to hear. And if you make one person hear you, then you're changing. Like we talk about it on TikTok a lot. It doesn't matter what your follower count is, but look at the hearts. That's one for every heart. That's one person that you made smile or laugh or have a reaction.
Yeah. And that's why I always say, hey, you know, stop focusing on how many followers you have. Just focus on making content that you like. And this is a problem that a lot of people have on TikTok. And it's a huge problem that a lot of creators have with the frustration of finding a fan base instead of just a follower account. Is that a lot of people will play to the trends. They'll play to what people like. Not what they like, but what people like. And it's not always successful that way because, you know, as soon as a trend starts, you have at most 48 hours to do it before it's completely gone. Like, before it's useless to do it.
Saturated.
Exactly.
Before it's saturated.
So trying to keep up and follow with trends like that, it's a useless endeavor. Make content that you enjoy things that you like, and the people that like the same things as you do, that have the same kind of mentality that you have, will follow you. And then they will become loyal and dedicated, and you guys will collaborate, and it becomes more inducive. And this is why you see people with follower counts within like the 60,000 range that only have 100,000 likes, whereas you have users like me and a few others that I know that only have like 15 to 20,000 followers, but near 400,000 likes, which is a huge difference between the amount of content that is liked of ours versus somebody even with bigger numbers. The like count is really what matters. It really is.
No, and I can definitely agree with that. And I think that it's interesting to say, you know, like when you're talking about the trends being saturated, there are a lot of people now who say, oh, well, why should I make a YouTube channel? You know, it's so saturated. No one's going to find me. Or why should I make a. And that's why I always encourage people to start with podcasting, because it's not a saturated market, but it is growing. What podcasting was 5 years ago, it's much different today. People live busy lifestyles. You can pop a podcast in your ear. You have on YouTube, you have 8 seconds to keep their attention before they close you
I
out
mean,
and
I
go
feel
to
like that
a
would be the
different
same thing with the podcast too. Like, not maybe not 8 seconds, but like
Most
still like
people
a
turn
certain amount
on.
of time for somebody to be even interested in what you're going to talk about.
It's usually more roughly around
5 to 6 minutes.
5 to 6 minutes. You have to keep their attention
Now,
and make them watch
now, like
this.
I said, most of my questions are going to be technical. Where do you get that
Okay, that's
demographic
fine. Research, listening to people who are, I always believe in, don't be afraid to listen to people who are
from?
smarter than you. I've sat down and I have interviewed with Pat Flynn. If you don't
No
know who
idea.
Pat Flynn is, he is the owner of
No idea what that is either.
smartpassiveincome.com. He teaches people how to make residual income. And once you understand what residual income is, you will walk through a brick wall to get it. Residual income is money that just keeps coming no matter what
So
you're
basically
doing.
like printing a book and then getting royalty sales. Gotcha.
Yes, that is residual income. I listened to Roberto Blake. I'm his ghostwriter. He does create something awesome, but he talks about how to do how content is. He actually is one of the only people I've ever heard say that it is not. And when you first start, honestly, it is quantity over quality. You want to push yourself out there as much as humanly possible. Don't worry so much about the editing. Marcus, I'm BKHD, Marcus Brownlee, the number one tech YouTuber, the richest tech YouTuber there is, had to do 100 videos before he got 78 subscribers.
Now, I actually can completely sit behind this idea. I didn't understand what you were saying it earlier when we were all off recording, but when you're explaining it that way, and this is it's actually a hacking strategy. It's the worst hacking strategy. It's called brute force. But when I first started on TikTok,
I left brutal.
When I first started TikTok, I had the mentality of force. The more my face is out there, the more people are going to see it, the more people
Now, what's funny is if you actually go to YouTube, the thing that kills me every time, Roberto Blake has figured out the algorithm for YouTube to the point where if you search Robert Downey Jr., which everyone's going to search, you still get Roberto Blake on your feed because he figured out the algorithm. And that's why I listen to him and I listen to these people because everything is an algorithm. Everything. And if you figure out the algorithm, you'll get out there. But people, you still need to give the people something that they actually want to hear. And with me, in my company, I do unfiltered coaching, which means that you may not like what I say, but I have like the Under Armour quote, that's my favorite quote. It says, "Nobody cares, work harder." I don't care what your follower count is. I don't care how many people you know. I don't care what your branding is. I don't care who your sponsors are. If you're not willing to put in the work, you're not going to do anything with it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And
Where do you bridge from there?
everyone, because I always talk about the, have you ever heard of the success iceberg?
No.
Okay. Who is your favorite overnight success?
I don't even know if I know any overnight successes.
That's the thing. There is
I
no
mean
such thing as an overnight success.
like there are
There is no such thing.
well, hold on. There is a such thing as overnight success on depending on what your definition of success is. Like if your success is based on, for instance, if your mentality is, "Hey, I'm successful based on the amount of followers I have." And you know, even though I disagree with that mentality, I don't disagree with the fact that other people have it, and it's still like a valid like level of success. So
But the point of the success iceberg says that on the top you see success, and then underneath that iceberg is, I'm going to show it to you. Because I'm able to do that right now.
I don't know how I'm gonna be able to see it with your fuzzy ass screen here.
It's okay.
You look like a pixelated monster.
Well, you're not going to see my camera. You're going to see my screen. Is that better? It's not
I don't
actually
see your
showing
screen yet.
you. Boom.
I gotta click
You
on
see it
it. There we
now?
go. It's a big old bappy iceberg here. Success is an iceberg. Success at the top here. People don't see dedication, hard work, discipline, disappointment, sacrifice, failure, persistence. I mean, like, it depends. Some people see that stuff.
But these are the things that, like I always talk about, and you'll hear me talk about it a lot. Gary V. You know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, right?
Listen, all right. If we're gonna be doing this on a regular basis here, you gotta understand something about me, all right? I do not know people. I remember
Okay,
accomplishments, all right? I might remember what they've
Gary
done, but
V.
not you tell me a name, I'm not gonna know who the hell you're talking about.
Okay, well, Gary V, if you don't know who he is, go ahead and look him up. He wrote the book, one of my favorite books, which is Jab, 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 Right Hook. And it's the idea that if you want to network and build relationships, you're going to give, 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 and then be able to get something back. Shoot your shot. But Gary V was, I like the idea that, and we've talked about this before, that most people's biggest failure is that they think they have to have their life together in their 20s. When Oprah was in her late 20s getting fired from her first TV show, and J.K. Rowling hadn't finished her book, and Gary V, who's one of the richest men in America right now, was 26 years old, working at his father's liquor store, having no idea what he wanted to do with his life. There's not a
No,
timeline for success.
I'm in my 20s, and I'm in my 20s, and I'm gonna be living in, have lived in, and or am going to be living in three different states in the last 2 years. I have not had my own place in a very long time, and I still won't be having my own place. Writing is not a lucrative profession. I only do it because I already have monetary backup from the military, and that's really the only reason that I'm even able to do it. If I was just writing professionally without that backup, there'd be no way that I would make it. Period. I would be on the streets.
Well, what is your definition of being successful? Because you said follower count doesn't make you successful. So, what is your
It
definition?
is subjective. It is all based on your
Okay.
perception. What's success to me may not be the same thing that is success for you. Success for me is peeing off the Eiffel Tower. Like, what?
Okay. No, I was thinking of, do you remember when I posted the video talking about what Everett did on the Playscape? That's what I was
Gotcha.
currently thinking of.
Yeah.
That I told you that you were the influence on my son to stand on top of the Playscape and say I am king to the kids that were bullying him and start
Good.
peeing off the top of the
I'm glad that I'm a positive influence to make people pee off of things. But success to me is setting a personal goal and accomplishing it. No matter what that goal is, no matter how big or small that is, as long as you have a goal and you got there, however what way you got there, you were a success. Like for instance, if you wanted to be the mayor and like you were up for running for the mayor, but the current mayor was re like going for re-election, and then you murdered the mayor, you still successfully became the mayor, but you would have had to have committed murder. It's still success. It's not good success, but I mean, like, it's still success. You know what I mean? Like, being successful to me is I'm very particular about words and definitions. And the definition of success is having a goal and accomplishing it, and that's it.
Now, do you think that people who have large follower counts, and I have a couple friends that have felt this way, do you think that they feel pressure to be a certain way or act a certain way or not basically let people down?
I mean, absolutely. All right. The beauty and the downfall of the internet and people's personal interaction of it is that you can be anybody. But once you...
There was the guy that sold stocks of himself that let people, his stockholders, control his life. What he wore, what he did. He made a lot of money, but...
Mostly what I mean is that, like, I could go on the internet and say, hi, I'm Jerry Stevenson. I work for the largest law firm in the United States, and like I could tell people that for years before somebody ever found out otherwise. But the problem with creating a persona or even being yourself is that after you've already done it in the public eye and you've gained a notoriety for it, there now becomes an expectation for you to continue that. So if you're not being yourself on social media, and like even if you got popular for just like one facet of your being, if you go outside of that facet, you remove that expectation and people are dissatisfied. And for a lot of people, that's a problem because they base a lot of how they feel about themselves on how other people think and how other people see them. And so it can create a lot of contention within yourself. Now, for people like me who don't give a fuck about what other people think, I just do what I do, I act how I act, people like it, they like it, and apparently they do.
And I understand that, because, you know, most people who do what I do for a living, I brand coach, I teach people how to do brand strategy, and most of them will sit there and be extremely nice to their coaches or people that they work with, you know, and they say, oh, you know, it's okay, we're just gonna do this at your pace, and we both know I'm not that person. I'm that person that's gonna say, nobody cares, work harder. You know, if you want this, if you want to make money and you want to do this, I need to know that you understand that working 16-hour days for yourself is better than working 8 hours for somebody else. And if you don't want it, I can't help you. And that doesn't work for everybody. That doesn't click with everyone. It's not a foundation that a lot of people understand. But I think that your who you are should not be based on what your followers expect.
No, it shouldn't be.
I think I have people that think I'm a complete and total bitch, and I'm like, you know what, I am, but I get things.
But but part of the problem is that people don't understand this one in simple universal truth, and it's something I talk about a lot because I'll have people come into my live streams and be like, I'm ugly, and I'm like, yeah, you are, and then I'll tell them right away, you're also beautiful. Because you are all things. Everybody is everything. Because my opinion on something that is able to be opinion-based. If I think, for instance, if I think the Mona Lisa is the most beautiful painting in the world, I don't, by the way. Just want that on record. But if I did, if I thought that, then at that point, my opinion is not untrue. It's a true opinion. But if somebody standing right next to me looking at the Mona Lisa thinks it's the ugliest painting in the world, the Mona Lisa at that point universally becomes truthfully both the most beautiful and the most ugly thing in the world.
It's the chair theory. It's how do you make this chair disappear? You say, well, the chair is not there.
That's not at all what I'm talking about. Because the chair is there.
No, I thought what you brought up was funny because, oddly enough, my favorite painting is not the Mona Lisa, but it's because of the Mona Lisa. My favorite painting is the Wedding, which is, if you look at the Mona Lisa and you turn directly around, it's right there. But most people miss it because they're too busy looking at the Mona Lisa, and I like that idea.
Well, so, with this universal truth is that... No matter what anybody thinks of you, somebody else also thinks the opposite. You are a bitch, but you're also not a bitch. You are beautiful, but you're also ugly as fuck. Like, you are all of these things. Uh-huh. All of them. And it's your responsibility to choose which one to focus on. Most people focus on the negative ones. They let the negative ones affect them. But understanding that the positive ones are also absolute truth is important, and focusing on that is very important. And that's the difference between being a positive creator and or being a person on the internet who just so happens to be there and then gets affected by a ton of negativity.
Yeah, I understand that.
I see you doing so. What are you doing? You're doing something.
I was writing a note, so I didn't have
what
to talk
did the
to
note
somebody.
Say?
I was letting someone know that I was recording a
so
podcast
you were
with you.
Writing a note about a podcast. Why couldn't you just say that? I wouldn't have minded. I don't think the podcast would have minded. You could have said it out loud.
So what is your, I want to know your
okay.
You are a very, you are a very public figure and also a very private person. How do you balance
you don't.
That?
That is my personal stressful battle with social media, is because you can't, it's impossible. If you're on the internet, everything about you is on the internet. Done. It's a constant battle. Like me, I don't like my real name being known. But there are people that go out of their way to look for my real name, and they will find it.
Well, isn't that, wouldn't that fall into the line of doxing?
Not really.
Someone?
It's public information. It's there. It's shared. It's not doxing unless they share it with others for the intent of malicious.
Okay, I can understand.
So if somebody wants to, like, find my phone number or find my address, right? But they don't use it for malicious intent. They just use it to, like, say they did it for just the intent purpose of telling me they could. That wouldn't really be doxing. Now, if they decided to stalk me, that wouldn't be doxing. That would be stalking. But if they decided to share that information, my address, with the internet, that would be doxing, because they would be intently trying to get people to find me.
Okay. Now, do you think that it hurts your social media that you are
Absolutely.
Such a private person?
Not that I care, but I mean, like, of course it does. If I was more public with a lot more about my, like, I'm very public about things about myself, but it does create this line of even if it's just in the back of your head, this tiny bit of distrust that I won't tell you my name.
That's fair. I mean, me and you have known each other a few months now, and you found out, what, a week ago what I do for
I
a
mean,
living?
I mean, I found out that you've done a lot of things for a living, so I mean, like, I wasn't really sure, but I mean, like, I've known
firm
several
believer.
Things that you've been doing for a living for a while, yes.
Yeah, I'm very big on the fact of always having six streams of income.
Well, with the profession path that you've chosen, that's important. But somebody actually pointed that out to me the other day.
Now, the goal is to make as much of them residual as possible. So that's why I'm going to start taking my coaching that I usually do one-on-one or in groups, and I'm going to start putting it on Teachable. So I don't have to. I can just send people over. They can take my course. And then they can come back to me with questions.
Now, do you feel like doing something like that removes the personalization of it and kind of waters it down, you know, like, because these the one-on-one sessions, they're very personal, they're very helpful, it's very interesting. If I have any questions, I can just ask you right there and then. But if you're putting it on Teachable, then it's not as accessible for you or for people to you.
So what I would do is I would have an initial webinar that lets people know, hey, this is who I am, this is what we do, this is what your goals are. Once they purchase like an 8-week course from me, yes, they have Teachable classes, but they would also have access to me for 1 or 2 hours
even
a week like we do. But then in those classes, I would be able to answer your personal questions rather than having to go over the same things over and over again.
Gotcha.
But also, I'm a firm believer in this. Life will, and Inky Johnson said this, and I absolutely love him. He used to be an athlete, fell out of being an athlete, wrote a book, walked it up to Oprah himself, and she took it. And he said, life will pay you the price that you say you're worth. I do coaching for people for free until they are actually making an income, and then we sit down and have a discussion. I have other clients who pay me $1,300 a month for coaching. I have, it all is very circumstantial to the person and how I feel about them. If I'm passionate about what they're trying to do or who they are as a person, I will help them. I believe.
Now what exactly now? Cause the way I'm kind of understanding it, the way it started to look is what is the difference to you between coaching and managing or what's the other one I'm thinking of? Not sponsoring. Manage. Let's just go manage. Between being somebody's manager, okay. Being somebody's manager and just coaching them. Because from what it seems like, okay, you're sort of taking on a managerial role, but they're calling it coaching.
Yeah, because I believe that managerial is very hands-off. I manage where you go, who you are, but with coaching, I think it's more personal. I think it's more, this is your brand. We're going to renew your brand. We're going to restart your brand. Like, we're doing the rebranding of Jammin' right now. And I'm working with a couple other people on branding and staying on brand. I go over, I have some people on social media who strictly... I tell them, especially when they're young, like young 18, 19 year old girls who are getting brand offers. And I tell them, hey, send me over those contracts. Let me look them over. Let me make sure that, you know,
do you have any background?
You're actually getting a fair deal. I have an associate's degree in paralegal.
Okay, good. That's good to know. Thank you.
I believe in educating yourself as much as humanly possible. I do have a goal to finish my law degree, but not so that I can work for a law firm, but so that I can help people who wouldn't normally be able
That's
to
That's the other
word, lawyer.
Agent.
Agent. So some people call me an agent because we've talked about this. People come to me all the time and they say, okay, well, how much do you charge? Especially if I know them, it's nothing. You're not making any money yet. Let's have you make money and then we'll talk about a percentage. Once you're making enough money for you, and I don't mean how much you're making, I mean how much you're making in a profit, then we'll say, okay, out of your profit, I'll take 5%, 10%, you know. But once you're making money, if any agency, especially when it comes to branding, modeling, acting, whatever you want to do, looks at you and says, hey, you need to pay me first, that's not a legitimate agency. That's not how this works.
Fair.
If their job is to help you make money, they shouldn't be asking money of you until you're making money.
Okay.
And now, I mean, I have some people that do trades with me. I have influencers. I have one, her name is Miss Loveless. I'm finishing her contract this week. She's going to be the next Oprah. I put that on my life. She's amazing. She throws out my company and what I do to her followers because she has a big fan base. And in return, I coach her.
Wait, did you say Oprah?
I have built... She's going to be the next
okay,
Oprah.
Okay, I thought you said Oprah herself. I was like, wait, hold on a second. Missed a word there.
No, I don't work with Oprah. I don't work with Oprah. So I think that it's really about, I like the fact that I get to choose my clients and that I get to be specific on who I want to work with. But I have also, when I lived in Texas, I have also built a restaurant, a website in exchange for gift cards for food. I think it's a balance. Like what can they afford? Like it's a trade. I have, I built a website for a car dealership once so my dad could get a car for my brother. Same price I would have charged for the website, but it's a trade. Trades of services are still a very valuable thing and it's the oldest type of monetary transaction.
Exactly, prostitution. Exactly what I was thinking.
I thought we weren't going to discuss the feet touches on the show, Jack. Like...
No, that's not prostitution. That is pornography. And one is legal, one is not. I'm just saying.
No, and I completely understand that. That's why I do different coaching. It's why I don't charge people until they're making money. It's why I talk to a lot of people and I put a lot of work in. But I tell people, I've also told people, okay, I can't work with you anymore. And they say, why? And I say, because you're not putting in the work.
In a way, it's more like an old style trading type thing. Now, in a very, very, very spend money to make money society and environment, what have your struggles been with that? Because I can imagine that could not have been easy to have started doing. Because I understand from a business standpoint where those agents come from, where they say, hey, you have to pay me before I can start doing things, because they need that money for the resources in order to get these things done. Now, in a social media environment like what you work with, I get that there's less resources needed and less money that needs to be spent. But of course, there's always going to be monetary overhead.
No, and I completely understand that. And there is. There always is.
For instance... if somebody needs a new phone, for instance.
Well, I mean, it depends. If there's something I can do, but it's not going to alter what I'm already doing, or what I'm already paying, I'm fine with it.
I get that, but what I'm talking about is the risk versus reward style of what you're doing. Say, for instance, somebody does need all this equipment and you decide, hey, I think they're going to be big, and then you help them to get involved in it and then it flops. Now you've lost money.
I've done that before. I've absolutely done that before. And I can understand how that is a concern with a lot of people. It's definitely a concern for me. But I also benefit by the fact that, I was just hired by a company in Arizona where I do the same thing I'm doing now, but for them. And thankfully, my boss doesn't have a non-compete clause, and he knows that I run my own business, and he's completely opening to me still running my own business. And I get to use his resources for my company and still build my company, and that's a really good deal for me. But... I have definitely put money into people where it's flopped. But it's more about knowing that my values are still intact, that I still went out of my way to help someone else, and I believe that the good you put out into the universe will come back to you. So for every one bad egg I get that gives up, I have five others that are striving and working. And I've had people call me at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I have a great idea for this. Call me. I will answer my phone. I will talk to you. I will be there for you. When I got out of the Army, I was the executive of operations for a marketing company called Swain Brands Inc. They're an amazing company. Jordan Swain is an amazing human being. But I wasn't able to personally work with the clients anymore. I wasn't client facing. I didn't know my clients' names. I didn't know their what was going on in their lives. I didn't know how to help them, and that was an issue for me. I like being personal with my clients. I like knowing, hey, you know, the reason they're not answering phone is because this is going on. I like checking on them. I believe that as content creators, we get creator burnout a lot. That's why I'm very incisive about their schedules and what they're doing and how long they're spending on social media. And is there a way to automate this?
A bit of a devil advocate here. Talking about burnout and content creating and that mentality as well. You've mentioned how during your coaching you suggest that you have several podcasts a week when you first start.
When you first start out, saturation.
Saturation, but how often does that also lead to burnout? Because I could see it very easily leading to a burnout situation. And especially with expectations and not meeting them. Because if somebody comes into it with the expectation that they'll get like 1,000 people listening to their very first podcast, and then fucking suddenly they've only had like five. And then they get.
I think your first podcast, your goal should be between 50 and 100 people listening. You want the reviews.
Highly doubt it, but I mean.
I mean, you have what, almost 20,000?
20,000 on my TikTok, but how many of them listen to podcasts? let's be fair.
Okay, so when you go on Sundays and you help out Radio Meltdown, you've easily gotten 30 people to go onto that website, download it, and listen to them.
That's
right?
True.
Because it's a free way to support them. You're not asking them for any monetary backing. You're asking them to listen to you, and they love listening. We've also run contests like with Jammin. We are actually talking to her audience about saying, "Hey, you know, we're gonna." Do contests, like mini contests, or, you know, make a video telling me what you want to talk about, and hey, I'll invite you to come be on my podcast. Now you have your audience plus their audience listening to your podcast.
With rules, of course, because, like, of course, you don't want a 12-year-old on a podcast.
No.
Not that I have any problem with 12-year-olds, because I know where the comments are going to go on this one. But I couldn't have a full, like, half an hour to an hour conversation with a 12-year-old. I know I couldn't.
No, and that's completely understandable. So you want to bring people... Like, when I have my autism podcast... So I have two different podcasts. I have Not Fit for Print, which is my unfiltered coaching podcast, my autism podcast. I would have you on my unfiltered coaching, but I wouldn't have you on my autism podcast. That wouldn't make any sense. You don't have any connection to that tribe.
How do you know?
Fair. But your audience isn't based
on... No, it's not. But I mean...
So... But I bring coaching clients onto my not favorite print one that I'm starting, and I will literally sit with them, and I will coach them live on my podcast.
Is that kind of what we're doing now?
Kind of.
But this is my podcast. It's mine. Mine!
So I will go ahead and after we get off this and tweet and say, "Hey, I was just on my buddy's first podcast. Go give him a listen." Now you have my audience plus your audience.
Yeah. They should look under their chairs. Everybody, look under your chairs right now.
There's nothing there.
There's nothing there. So initially, my goal for this particular podcast is 50 to 100 listens, right?
Okay.
Well, no. That's what you're telling me, as my coach.
No, 50. That's your goal for the day.
That's my goal. 50.
50 listens
to this. 50. Now, a huge question I have here, which is another one that I've been thinking about. How much of the podcast do they have to listen to before it's considered listened to? Is it like views on TikTok where, you know, you open it, you swipe, and it counts as a view?
They have to press play. They have to turn
okay.
it on.
Okay, so if they turn it on and they don't actually listen to it, and then they close it out 2 minutes in, it still counts as a listen?
I believe so, but we can test the theory this week.
These are important factors for notes. I pay attention to the statistics. I look at the numbers a lot. And that's something...
They'll give you... That's what I like about Anchor, too. They actually offer you complete and total analytics. Well,
do they include that
in
my analytics?
I know that most of my listeners listen to me on Thursdays. So if I put out my podcast on Thursdays, I'm getting the most.
But
listeners.
Do they include that in the analytics? How much of the podcast they actually listen to? Because we're going on, what, like a little over an hour now? An hour and 3 minutes. Now, say somebody doesn't have an hour and 3 minutes to listen to me ramble on about TikTok. So... And they only listen to 5 minutes of the podcast, and they go, "Oh crap! I gotta grab my keys and go." And then they turn it off to go drive.
Well, our goal would be that they would plug you in the car. I'm gonna check my analytics now.
But assume they didn't.
So they actually give me an Excel sheet.
Because the way I approach anything in life is I always expect the worst to happen, the worst results. And I hope for the best, but I always expect the worst, so that if the worst does happen, then I'm already in the mindset for failure, and so I don't have to be negatively affected by it. That I can improve from it. Awkward silence. Listen to the crickets chirp.
I'm looking over my analytics on. So all it has to actually do is they have to open up the app and look at your podcast and press play.
And suddenly, I've got views.
I average about 244 plays a day right now.
Essentially, the system could be cheated.
They're gonna notice. Streamed or downloaded.
I'm just saying that it's a possibility, though, right? I'm not saying I would, because honestly, I love to hear myself talk, so I'd love for other people to hear me talk.
But you also want to talk to other people, like talking to me. So talking to yourself is a conversation, but you have to remember that it's not like a live episode. You're not engaging with them. But do let people know, if you guys have the Anchor app and you guys want to talk to Jack or leave him a message or ask him a question, that you guys, you know, his comments go pretty fast in his live stream. Sometimes he doesn't reach all of them. You can actually leave him a voice message on here. And Jack, you can actually do Q&A lives on your podcast, and you can actually play those audios into your podcast and start answering people's questions that way.
I'll consider it.
So what is your goal with this podcast?
I don't usually set goals for things like this. I just do them because I enjoy doing them. That's it. That's all I do. The reason I do almost anything is because I just enjoy doing it. If it benefits me in the end, awesome. If it doesn't, then it still benefits me because I enjoyed myself. And like I said, I love hearing myself talk. I'm a narcissist. So this whole time I've been talking, I've been having fun. I'm having fun. I'm having a ton of fun. Tons of fun. Whole big old bags of fun, okay? If even just one person listened to it, great. If nobody listened to it, I still had fun.
So how do you plan on sharing on social media your podcast? Are you going to go over on the TikTok and be like, hey guys, I started a podcast? Because it won't be on everything yet. The RSS feed takes about a week to get out. So if they want to go ahead and go to Anchor and listen to you, they can. But you won't be on social media platforms.
I could post a video about it. I don't know what I'd say, but like, yo, bitches, listen to me talk. You want to hear my very first podcast?
You just say, hey, I'm trying something new. If you guys want to support me, I'm on the anchor.fm. You can search.
You know my attitude. I wouldn't say
and
that.
Maybe give me some ideas if you want to be. That is how you. How do you say
I'd be
it?
Like, yo, bitches! Sup, fuckers? You should check out my podcast.
I'm so glad we put that. So why don't you talk about the ability to put that explicit tag on your podcast for people who might have
so
that.
So when Brooke comes to me and says, hey, I want you to start your own podcast, I go, that sounds silly. Talked about it more, and I was like, yeah, you know, I do like to talk a lot, so I guess I could benefit from this in a way. And then she mentioned the money. I was like, that's okay, great. But, you know, friggin' at the same time, like, I had qualms because, like, we all know that I can't exactly filter myself. Well, not that I can't, because I could just replace every swear word with another really funny swear word. What's the
ducking?
Like, ducking is like the even though it's something that the phone does to autocorrect the word fuck, duck is still the best replacement in the entire world for fuck. You can't argue me on that because it's just hilarious.
I like
it's like what the duck, man. You know.
I like floof.
I was thinking of using grits instead of shits. Well, not with the S, but shit. But I still have a huge, because I can't imagine me sitting here talking and recording this and like being like every 5 minutes having to finish the recording, delete it and then redo the whole thing just because I swore on accident. So I, because I'm an Northerner. I swearing is very, and a Marine. It's very vehemently in my vocabulary to swear. I almost can't go a whole fucking sentence without just saying a swear, just because we use them very naturally. So I kept bringing this up and bringing this up and bringing this up. And apparently, there is an explicit feature that you can go to your profile, hit the thing, hit the buttons, all the buttons, and do a karate chop and maybe a spin kick. And then suddenly, you're able to do explicit content. And that is where I was finally like, okay, fine, I'll do it. I was like, the last limiting factor was, hey, can you fucking swear? No. Fuck. Well, what am I gonna do now?
And then, with no warning to Brooke, goes, oh, we're just going to record one right now.
Hey, gotta start somewhere. And even if this is the shittiest podcast in the entire world, I don't give a fuck because you gotta start somewhere. I even said that with the very first video I ever posted on TikTok. I had been watching videos and liking videos, and suddenly I was like, I'm gonna record one, even though I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. And I recorded the video, the caption of the video was, gotta start somewhere. And that's it.
And that's true. And that can be the title of this podcast for you. So you're the same on all the platforms, all your first have the same title. So what do you want your listeners to be able to come jump on your podcast, talk about what they think is important? What is your plan?
Like I said, I want to get better equipment for something like this because like one of the real because I just discovered the power of House Party. Which is what we're using to look each other in our very pixelated eyes right now.
And the pixel.
And so House Party is really fun because you can do group chat, group video chats with people. I think it's a lot of fun. It can get a little chaotic if there's a lot of people in the room, but like if I had a better microphone and could just play the audio from my computer instead of using this headset with my phone, that would be better to me because then I could jump on House Party, start a podcast, start talking to somebody, and then leave the room open to have anybody just come in and just like talk to a bunch of people on my podcast. That would be a lot of fun to do.
And now I think you'll find, surprisingly, when you listen to the recorded podcast on Anchor, they're actually really good at evening out your recording.
Well, what I mean is when there's like six people talking at once. My standard phone microphone is not going to be able to handle my computer's audio shooting out from my computer with the
Honestly, they
phone.
have, the one I usually recommend to people that I work with is on Amazon. I'm gonna have to jump an affiliate link onto my fucking website. But I can just send you the link to this plugs into your phone or your computer. And it has a sound buffer. I like Yetis. They're my favorite. Yetis are a little bit more on the expensive side. But the Samsung Go Mic Portable, the USB condenser microphone, is the best portable mic you can have. It's only $29 on Amazon. But includes a fold-out stand, everything.
Plus, another thing that I would like to do because. And that sounds awesome. I would love to get an actual microphone. I would love to get an actual microphone for a lot of reasons, not just this. But I did notice one feature here is that you can upload recordings, so it doesn't have to be recorded
Yes.
through this. I have. So yeah, it doesn't have to be recorded through this. I can actually just do a recording, edit the audio myself, and then upload it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they'll still push it out to all of your RSS feeds.
So that's why I would like to get a little bit more better equipment, a soundboard, that kind of thing. So I'll be looking into that. But
I think you're gonna do a lot better than you think you're gonna do. I think you're gonna do just fine.
expect the worst. Always expect the worst.
Hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Well, I don't necessarily plan for the worst. I don't like planning for the worst. my plan for the first five is a lot different. I don't know what. I would always have a plan B pill as a liner. That was a joke, by the way.
Mom. No, you're fine.
No, I was saying as a joke to not to you, but to whoever might be listening to this and goes, "Oh my God, plan B." But no.
Teddy bear's on the couch.
Sleep on the bed.
Sounds like it's about time for.
I think this is a good time to wrap up your first podcast.
Yeah, an hour and 15 minutes. Let's see. I should do a jingle, right?
Your delicious Pepsi.
I was talking about earlier, how like I love like the most innocuous advertisement places. I think they're hilarious. Like when you're watching a TV show and like every 5 seconds you see one drinking out of like a Coke can, because Coke sponsored the show. I've always wanted to be one of those people. Just because, like not because like I feel like it would. I don't see it as selling out. I see it as that would be a. Hilarious. It would just be a lot of fun to be like, hey, oh yeah, hold on a second. I just need to take a sip of my delicious Pepsi. I feel so satisfied. Like, just have like random ad placements like that. I think that would be hilarious to do.
But whatever. They did really funny, interesting ones for that on the Dr. Seuss movie with like Universal Studios.
The ones in the new Stranger Things season for Coke were amazing.
Mom, let's get up. I want to go back in the phone.
Stop jingle. Thank you for coming to the
Can I come with
talk
me?
Talk about Jack thing.
Can I come with me?
Stuff and things. But,
yes.
I love all your faces. Thank you for popping in and listening. In case you didn't, fuck you. But
I'm sure if they heard that, then they listened.
You're right,
all the
they
way
did. But I love you guys. Thank you for listening for an hour. I don't know who would. I certainly wouldn't. But
hey, if they're cleaning, I'm telling you, people turn on podcasts if they're cleaning their room, any of that stuff, and they just listen to them.
That's weird. If
once you start listening to podcasts, it's funny. Listen, it's interesting.
I love you guys. I love you, listeners. But if you're one of those people that like, you know, puts your phone in your pocket, throws the headphones in, listen to me an hour while you vacuum clean, you're weird. All right, like you're just a straight up weird person. Like
we appreciate you.
Oh yeah, I appreciate you, but it's still fucking weird. All right. I'm gonna go ahead and hit the button. Am I hitting the button? I'm just gonna hover my finger over.
You're hitting the button.
Bye, guys.
That'll kick me off. Bye.